Hi, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast, Season 4. Do you like conversations with people who are passionate about food? When you pick your vacations, do you base it on what you want to eat and then hit up every place Anthony Bourdain said to? Is food your love language? Well, if so, this podcast is for you. Join me here on Fridays, where we will laugh, possibly shed a tear, and always leave hungry for our next great bite of food. And if you're ready, your next food adventure starts right now. Hey everyone, you're listening to the Food Adventures Podcast. I'm your host, Beth Fuller, and this is Season 4. Woo woo! If you're new to the podcast, thanks for being here. If you've been here for all other three seasons, oh my God, I love you. I can't believe we've made it this far. Well, I can, because we're rock stars. So here's the drill. If you don't know the drill, this is the drill. Go to my website for all of the show notes, ElizabethRFuller.com. You don't have to take the notes. I've taken the notes. If you've got questions for the podcast, if you want to be on the podcast, send me an email. Let's go on a food adventure at gmail.com. And of course, follow me on Instagram at Let's Go On A Food Adventure. Slide into the DMs with all of your questions. And please don't forget to like, rate, and share the podcast wherever you listen to it, because that's the way we get heard. And who doesn't want to hear us? All right, let's get into the show. Hey everyone, how's it going? How is your April? Can you believe Mercury's in retrograde? Like, why? Why? I don't know if any of you buy into that garbage, but I'm sick. Can we also talk about I'm sick? I haven't been sick. I don't do sick well. Can we talk about this? I don't do sick well. I don't wear it well. I don't sit still well. I am a mover. I'm a shaker. Your girl's a go-getter. And yet, here we are. Here we are. I'm so kerfuffled, too. Like, my headphones aren't fitting right. Oh, God. Why me? Here I am. Here I am. I'm not going to sit here and whine the whole time. But if I sound like I have, like, 1,000 cats around me and I've been smoking, like Benson and Hedges 150s, like cartons and cartons of them, or you hear like a little like cough, it's because I'm dying. I have a head cold, and I don't know what horrible fucking human out in the world gave me this, but they can literally rot in hell. Like, if you're sick, stay home. I'm staying home. Did I want to go to the gym this morning? You bet your ass I did, but I didn't, because I was like, I have a head cold. I'm going to be coughing. There is snot flying and no one needs to get this. So I'm going to stay home, sip my throat coat tea, and talk to my friends on the podcast. So here we are. Here we are. We're going to jump right into our episode in a second, but first, can we talk about Top Chef? Is everyone watching it? You should be. If you're not, please catch up, because here's what I don't understand. So usually they didn't talk about this at all. So I don't know if there's any behind the scenes tea that like no one's talking about, but they always do. Well, in these like last few seasons or handful of seasons, Tom has last chance kitchen, right? So like if when you get kicked off the main show, then you have a chance to come back because you can fight it out in last chance kitchen. And a lot of people have come back and won the season from last chance kitchen. Hold on, chapstick. I'm sick. My lips are chapped. So sad. I'm so sad. So episode one. They're in it. Spoiler alert. Motherfucking spoiler alert. So episode one, they're cooking in this kitchen. They finish. bottom three people up for elimination. They're like, okay, cook one more thing with whatever ingredients are left from all these other chefy chefs. So they whip shit up, not very well, mind you. And again, I've been on a cooking competition show on Netflix. Do you know? Did you know that? Cook at All Costs, episode 2, bitches. Anyway, so I get it. Pressure cooker. This is, you're exhausted. You might not have slept the night before. You're not thinking clearly. You have no plan. I get all of that. So, you know, whatever. Hindsight's 2020, but they picked the guy that's going home, and he was rightfully so, I think, you know, pack your knives and go. And P.S., our girl Kristen Kish, crushing it. I think she's doing a fabulous job. I also like the immunity not happening in the quickfire anymore, that it happens in the main challenge. I dig that. I think that's awesome. And because some people kind of halfway through, if they got immunity in the quickfire and they got to the main challenge and all of a sudden shit was going a little sideways and they had immunity, they would phone it in. And it was very obvious that some people would be like, man, you know, not even going to really fucking try to even fix this dumpster fire. I have immunity. I'm not going home. Whereas now you're fighting to keep the immunity for the next challenge. You know, I don't know. There was something about that that I like the way this is formatted. But anyway, so the guy gets kicked off. No mention of Last Chance Kitchen. Usually Tom will be like, okay, I'll see you in Last Chance Kitchen. You know, like you still got a chance. He goes. Then cut to episode 2. That person gets kicked off. Sure enough, Tom's like, I'll see you in Last Chance Kitchen. Cut to Last Chance Kitchen. It's him and some other random guy that they pull off the fucking street. And I'm like, what happened to the tattooed dude with the hat who was like fucking mocking Tom? Or like just like, I don't know, throwing some shade at Tom. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. So if you have any theories, please let me know. The other thing I'm watching, oh God, for better or worse, you know your girl in Bravo, Below Deck. If anyone out there is watching Below Deck, please, please, and you want to talk about it, you let me know. It is trashy. As someone who has been in the industry, service industry, for the better part, off and on, for like 13 years I bartended, and I waited tables for a time before that and worked as a busser, a hostess. I did takeout. Like, I've worked in the restaurant industry probably for the better part of like 15, 20 years off and on. Where was my mind going with that? I sympathize. Sorry, sick. I'm sick. I'm so sick. I sympathize and empathize with everyone on those, I wasn't going to say tiny little boats. I mean, they're super mega yachts, but it is, it's a journey. I have not watched all the seasons of any of them. I've only watched season 10 of the OG Below Deck. I feel like that's a good season because you get a feel for Captain Lee and Captain Sandy, because something happens halfway through and Captain Sandy needs to step in, and she's Below Deck Mediterranean, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how this all works. All I know is it was a good season. Highly recommend it. Could not stop watching it. And really scratched the trashy reality show itch that yours truly has. Okay, enough of all of this. Thank you for your pity, your sympathy, your well wishes. By the time this comes out, hopefully I'm doing backflips, feeling better. I've got my throat coat tea. I've got my zinc. I've got all of the things. The Vicks. Oh my God. The Vicks tissues. Tell me you don't love those. Love those. Can't smell Vicks right now, but I imagine it's working somehow, some way. Oh, I'm so sick. Okay, let's get into our episode. Alrighty. Our guest today. Did you listen to part one of my conversation with my guest today, Nathan? Did you? Okay, if you didn't, stop. Just stop. go to part one. It was the episode right before this. If you've listened, yay! Isn't he a dream? He's a doll. We love him. We love him. Nathan has given up everything he knew and was familiar to him in Oklahoma City and decided 10 plus years ago to pack a bag and just travel the world. He's been to more than 60 countries, over 5 continents. He is not stopping anytime soon. He is a gem of a human, a smile that lights up a room. Please, please, please welcome to the podcast for a second time, Nathan from Foodie Flash Packer. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, thanks for having me on again for part two.
Oh my God. I'm like, just, you're literally like, where in the world is Nathan right now? So I'm like thrilled to have you. For the listeners, let's do a quick recap. The very first time you and I talked off camera, we were in Buenos Aires. Then you went to Brazil for a hot moment, which turned into a very long moment. And now you're in, drum roll, please.
Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh my God, I can't even with you, girl. I can't even.
It's been a kind of a wild ride.
Yeah.
How do I like South Africa? So I kind of mentioned it to you yesterday when we talked about it. I could tell you wanted to keep it for the show.
Yeah.
What I think about. When I first got here, after hearing so much great things, I was like, yeah, it's cool. I like it. I'm into it, you know, but I wasn't obsessed. Like when I went to Mexico City for the first time, when I went to Buenos Aires for the first time, it was like obsession almost from the moment I got out of the Uber. Now that I've been here for about a week, I'm really into it. I like it a lot. I think it's great. I think it's insanely livable.
Really? What do you love about it?
First of all, I love living by the water. So I have like a sea apartment. So like right out my front door, I can go for sunset walks on the promenade every night, which is so nice. For me, it encourages me to be healthier, to be more active. There's all kinds of hiking around here. I haven't started doing that, but it's just, there's so many bars, restaurants, it's trendy. I will say it's a little lazy of me, but everyone speaks English. Yeah. So it's nice to be halfway around the world. You know, I'm in Africa and everyone speaks English.
Yeah. So they have, what's the other language they speak there? There is a dual language, right? Is there another language they speak?
Afrikaans.
That's right. Okay. That's Charlize Theron speaks it fluently. I know that for a fact.
Everyone speaks English. Like before I came, I was like wondering like how many people would speak English versus, you know, how many people, at least the people that I am dealing with in like, you know, the gym and restaurants and, you know, bars where expats and people are going. It's 100% English. The signs are all in English. Mm. Everything's the radio's in English. The TV's in English.
Yeah, that's fun. Is it kind of disappointing too? Because you almost feel like you could be you could be in Australia. You could be in a way.
It's not disappointing. It's a little bit nice. My only thing is I'm really working on my Spanish.
Yes, you are.
It feels like a big hindrance. I'm not practicing any Spanish. I need to get back online and schedule some of those classes. But it is kind of nice to like, just be able everywhere you go, you can read every sign, everything makes sense. And you know, the first couple of days when I would like go up to a shopkeeper or something, I'd be like, disculpe. And I'm like, no, like we're not doing, it's a little bit hard to like shift out of like, you know, because I'm used to, especially with like waiters and bartenders and everyone else, using my terrible Spanish with them. But here it's nice. It
is. Your Spanish is not terrible. Your Spanish is fucking good. Let's be honest. Like, not terrible.
When did you hear my Spanish? You've heard me speak Spanish?
Like, no, I haven't. But I just know in my heart of hearts, one, you have lived there off and on for years. And two, you've been practicing nonstop. So I know your Spanish is good. And we also did talk about, you did go on a date and speak fluent Spanish the entire time. So if you can nail that, like, come on.
I did my first ever date in complete Spanish. And yeah, I tell people all the time, my Spanish is functional, but not fluent. Like I can definitely get by, But I'm so bad at conjugating verbs. So everything is just in like present tense. Like
Perfect.
there's no future, there's no past.
You
Like
don't, and that's, we're all trying to be grounded in the present. So like you're doing it perfectly. Like you can't get any better. So is Cape Town expensive?
No, like really affordable, especially for things like going out, groceries, restaurants, bars, things like this. Of course, I'm tapped into the Airbnb rentals, so I don't find those wildly affordable, but I imagine if you sign like a longer lease. Oh, and they just announced yesterday that they're coming out with a digital nomad visa. So
Wow.
so by time you publish this, they may have more about it, more out about that. They just mentioned it a day or two ago. So maybe if you could get into, a 6 month or a 1 year lease or something, maybe it'd be more affordable. I mean, I don't mind sharing what I'm paying. I'm paying $1,400 a month for one bedroom.
That's
So
pretty cheap.
it's not bad, but when you compare it to places, in Mexico and stuff like this. So I don't find like it's wildly, and I think I have a pretty good deal. I don't think it's like wildly affordable for accommodation. It's fair value. I think it's a good price. But to go out, a glass of wine is like $2
Oh,
and
wow.
dinner is like $6 to $10 for most things. And we went to a very kind of trendy upmarket place, and I think the most expensive thing, they had like a Wagyu steak for $20.
Oh my God, it's so cheap.
Yeah.
It's
But
so cheap.
they produce so much wine here. So to go out,
Right.
to go out, a glass of wine is like $2 and a bottle is like 10 to 12.
Wow. And the weather there, is it pretty mild throughout? I don't know it. I should know it better, but does it get really cold in the winter or is it pretty temperate throughout?
I honestly didn't research anything outside of the part that will be here, but I will say I found it surprisingly cooler than I thought it was going to be. The first week that we were here, I was wearing a jacket to dinner some nights. I was like, this is not what I thought for like summer in Africa.
Well, you're in like the height of summer right now, right?
Yeah, we're gonna be easing out of summer into fall here pretty soon. But it's nice. Like every night it's sunny, it's bright. I will say, if I had to find one complaint about, what makes it a little bit less than idyllic, Sunday we did a beach day and the ocean is freezing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
the ocean is so. I'm used to like Mexico or Southeast Asia or something where it's like
Yeah.
bath water warm, and it was like an ice plunge. So to go to the beach and not want to get into the water, I would say so far is really the only complaint I've had. The people are super nice. They're super, and it, once again, but it's easier to have these like easy interactions with people when everyone's speaking English, you know.
Yeah, it's true. And like on your note to the water, I don't swim in the ocean unless it's like a bath as well. Like we're talking like Caribbean. Like I want that shit like 80 something. Like it doesn't need to be refreshing. Like I want it to be like a fucking hot tub. But when I lived in California, I would watch, and the Pacific is freezing, freezing cold. And I would watch so many tourists run in that water thinking it's going to be warm because it's California and it's not. And they run out and they're like, oh my God, it's so cold. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's just anywhere else in the world. The water is not like the Caribbean or like you said, Southeast Asia. Like we like it bath water. That's who we are. I
Was
can.
me on Sunday. Like I made it up to like my kneecaps, and I was like,
Oh,
that's
good for
enough
you.
ocean time for me today.
Totally. And then is it lighter longer down there because does the sun take forever to set?
It's sunsets at 7:45. I feel like
Oh,
it's pretty,
okay.
yeah,
Yeah.
7:45.
Yeah. I don't know why. I figured because it's so much lower on the equator that it would be like, I don't know. Like not the Arctic or not like Antarctica where it's like perpetual daylight or perpetual dark, like something not like that, but I thought it would be longer.
I don't know
I
how it is for
don't
the rest of the year, but th this time of year right now, we're talking February 13th. It's like
know
about 7:45 every night.
why. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. It's like a nice summer night. I'm very, very jealous. It's snowing right now and it's
Oh,
yeah, I know, I know, I know. Story of my life. Okay, and oh, one last thing. What was like the yummiest thing you've eaten in South Africa so far?
oh, this is so bad. Mexican food.
Stop
We
it.
went to, yeah, we've not really dove yet. We have some local friends and we're going to a dinner with them on Friday and we're going to try. And I think I also have maybe a dinner Thursday night that'll be more local. We had some decent pho, but then the place I told you the other night that we went to that was like the kind of upmarket, it was
Yeah.
like kind of a fancy Mexican place and it was pretty delicious actually.
That's so funny. You're like, I'm home. I'm with my people. I can eat tacos.
Hacienda the coastal Mexican, in case anyone's coming to Cape Town, and they did amazing cocktails.
Really? Okay, I'm writing that down for everybody because I want to go to Cape Town. All right, let's talk. So this whole conversation is going to just be a little more deeper into places that you love and places that you want to highlight more and talk a little bit more about. But before we do that, we need to tell everyone how many countries have you been to?
We're getting close to 70. I think this is like number 67-ish. I haven't tallied it up lately, but I know I'm pushing 70.
And you've been to almost every continent in the world except for what, Antarctica
And
and
Australia.
in Australia. Oh my God, you got to get your ass to Australia, dude.
I've never felt that pulled to Australia. I don't know why.
I guess like when you were in Southeast Asia, you were so close compared to where you are now in the world and like where you like to go, it's so far compared to that. But like, I understand. I mean, it's kind of I don't want to say it's like the US in places, but it because maybe they speak English and it's I don't know. My brother lived in Brisbane for a long, long time and he loved it, loved it. But maybe it's a bucket list thing, like because you got to check these things. You're traveling the world, don't you think?
Yeah, we have potentially an upcoming trip to Bali, and I thought about at least going over for like a couple of weeks to Australia. It's just an enormous country.
It's
I feel like you need,
expensive too.
is it? Yeah, I feel
Yep.
like you need months to do it properly. Like, I don't just want to pop into Sydney for 3 nights and be like, oh, I've done Australia. I feel like if you go all the way there, it's going to take a long time to do it properly. But yeah, I've heard also that it's, pretty expensive.
Yeah, because they import everything. So it's like, I mean, insanely expensive for going out, for drinks, for buying groceries, things like that. It's just the cost of living. From what I understand, it could be wrong, but at least in Brisbane, from what my brother told me, he lived there off and on for, I don't know, I think the better part of 10 years. And so he still works there and he commutes from Brazil to Australia
That's a
quarterly.
long,
It's a long
yeah.
commute, but he only does that 4 times a year. So he, but his time difference with the phone calls and work stuff all day long. I mean, he's been doing it now for almost 20 years, so he's so used to it, but it's just, it's wacky. And like when he comes to in this, oh, I'm gonna stop talking about my brother. This is not about my brother. He's not on the podcast. Nathan's on the podcast. Okay, let's do a little
You have
high
him
low
on.
game. I know. Well, he's my little brother. High low game. Five countries that you could live in or visit over and over and over again, or cities, five countries or cities, whichever you'd like to dive into.
Well, Mexico, I could do probably five cities just in Mexico.
I
So
know
we'll
you
just say
could.
Mexico overall. More specifically, I think if I do sit down in Mexico for a while, it would be Mexico City. I'm really pretty obsessed with Mexico City. Argentina, very specifically Buenos Aires. Spain, if we were going to be specific, it would be Madrid in Spain. And when I first started traveling and I was going to Thailand, I was not a fan of Bangkok because my idea of Thailand is islands and beaches and palm trees.
Sure.
And I kind of want to give living in Bangkok a try because when I've been back, I'm like, this city has everything. Anything you can think of, Bangkok has it. And it's like at your fingertips because they are app-based to like a degree that Americans would not understand. Everything is on an app in Bangkok, Thailand in general, but it's specifically whatever you can think of. There's
Really?
an app. Yeah, it's amazing. Like luxury fine dining, like last minute cancellations at restaurants you can never get a seat at. There's like a whole app dedicated to this. Private chefs coming to your house. You can have a massage therapist like delivered on a motorbike to your house. The
Everything can
massage.
get on a motorbike and come right to you. I love it.
Yeah, the massage will come to you. And let me think one more. So we did Mexico, da, 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 Thailand. I don't know. I mean, I think South Africa, like I said earlier, this place is very livable. I've only been here for a week, but if this is what life is like in South Africa, year round, I know I'm here in the better part of the weather-wise, I could easily see spending a good chunk of time in Cape Town.
That's really interesting. That's really, and not that you were on the fence about it, but you weren't like ready to love it like you love it now. So I love that. That's really fun.
We had so many warnings about safety that I kind of came home and I was like, we'll see. Like I was excited to go. Any country that's known for their wine, I'm probably going to be excited to visit.
True.
But yeah, we were so warned about safety that I was coming in kind of like with my sensors like up. And yeah, of course, like, we're all, my friends and I, we're all trying to be cognizant and aware of safety here. I started to walk home the other night at like 10 p.m. from a restaurant. It's like a 15-minute walk home. And my friends were like, no, get an Uber. So, it's definitely something you need to be aware of, but I've not felt unsafe since I've been here.
No, that's good. That's good. I mean, you are a large statured, tall, white dude. So you
I'm
do have that.
5'6". Yeah, I'm
Okay,
not
but
tall
okay, you're not tall
at
at all. But I mean, you're taller than I am. But like you are like a white male that does have some a little bonus to it, at least from a woman's perspective of so but I'm glad. I mean, you might not feel safe in places too. You know what I mean? Like I think that's I agree with you. Like I didn't feel very safe at times in Brazil, for various reasons. And I was warned up and down over we talked about this before. And so it's good that you feel safe, but you're also being very cognizant of your surroundings and making sure you continue to be safe by, you know, being mindful of everything around you. I think it's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad
Yeah,
you.
coming from Brazil, yeah, I mean, I feel more at ease here than I did in Brazil.
I agree too. And I wonder if English speaking countries also help us put our guard down a little bit because there is something very home and comfortable feeling when all the signs are in English, everyone's speaking English, that you automatically feel a little more comfortable at that as well, maybe. I don't know though. It could just be the vibe too, you know, like it's an
Well, and then
interesting.
also, if you get into like a sticky situation or whatever, the ability to ask for help and to explain what's going on and to get, quick help. Yeah, I mean, that definitely doing all of that in English. I think I mentioned on the first episode that I have two passports. Yeah, and that's why I very rarely travel under my Mexican passport, because if anything ever went down, anything was like really terrible
Yeah, you'd
in a
want the US
country.
Embassy besides you.
Yeah, and I had to go to run to the Mexican embassy for help, and I'm just like, "Hola, necesito
Like, are you
ayudar?"
really Mexican? Are you
Yeah,
serious?
so
One of my
I
friends who
almost.
was in the Marines for a long, long time, this is like 100,000 years ago, and he was overseas. It was during when something was happening in Yemen. And so he's in the US. So like all of a sudden different countries are coming into port. And he's like, you know, like you see Spain and they've got these big military ships or the UK and then you see this other country and then you see this other and like just state of the art, whatever. He's like, and then you see Mexico coming in. And it is like it could have been a fucking party on the boat, and these motherfuckers are coming up in like some janky fucking boats, and they're just like, what's up? Like, that's so funny. I can picture like walking into the Mexican embassy, like, what's up? Like, just so different than the US. And I don't mean any shade to Mexico. Like, Mexico's just fun. Like, you guys have a fun vibe. It's
I love it there. Yeah, we're getting ready to do a round of social media about like, traveling for 10 years and like top five favorite countries
Yeah.
and blah blah blah, things like this. And I'm like, oh, I could just do like, Mexico for all of it. If we're talking food, just people, like
Oh,
all
yeah.
Mexico really kind of, for me, checks a lot of my boxes.
Yes, it does. So before we get into that's what we're talking about next is Mexico. Before we get into that, let's say three, because we don't want to do all five. We don't want to give shade to five countries or places. Three places that you would never go back to that were pretty disappointing and that you were like, oh, this was, I had high expectations. This was a fucking fail.
Okay, so mine almost go flip opposite of that because now I tell people I've been back to some of those places and I've had better experiences.
Oh, okay.
So almost all my places that I swore I would never go back to again, now I'm almost kind of like, okay, I want to go back because I want to change my mindset around them. So I'll tell you the first one, Delhi, India.
Very crowded.
And dirty and aggressive with people trying to scam you. And probably one of my, not my least favorite travel experiences, I'll say that. And number two, the one that changed my mind was the capital of the Philippines,
Oh,
Manila.
Manila? Yeah.
Yeah. Went to Manila. Same thing I was saying earlier about I didn't like Bangkok at first. I was like, it's crowded, it's busy, there's traffic, it's, there's no, I want beaches and islands and palm trees. I went back to Manila because I had a conference there, a blogging conference, and we made some local friends and they took us out to like fun neighborhoods and we went to like a roast pig and craft beer festival. And yeah, and I was like, okay, like Manila's kind of cool. And then the third one, but I will say I don't think I'm ready to go back and change my opinion of it yet. But the one that I'm not, I don't need to go back to Sao Paulo anytime soon.
No.
Did I tell you on the last, or maybe I told you off camera, a girlfriend of mine got robbed there twice in 24 hours?
No. You didn't, but I
Yeah.
just surprised. It's where my brother got mugged twice. Like, it is a major city, and it is rough in places.
So I'm happy to go back to Brazil. I like Brazil. If I went back to Florianópolis, was a good time. I have friends living outside of Rio that I'd like to go visit, but other than, now, but I told my friend the other day, I said, because I'm already planning to go back to Buenos Aires for part of the winter. And I said, but I may have to go back to São Paulo because they have that direct flight from São Paulo back to Cape Town. If I'm going to put Cape Town in the rotation, but I'll probably go for like the night before, one night before, and do like a hotel by the airport and just get in and get out.
I don't blame
Yeah.
you. I don't blame you. So, let's get into Mexico. We could spend 400 years talking about Mexico. Mexico is very near and dear to your heart. Like, not only are you part Mexican, you are, 'cause are you fully, is it 100%, or is it just your mom's side?
I'm half Mexican.
Yeah, that's on your mom, from your mom, right?
On my dad's side, my dad's
And
side.
but your mom lives in Mexico.
Yes, we are using our Mexican passports to sponsor my mom's retirement visa.
I fucking love this. Like, she is like, I'm retiring in Mexico. Because so when I lived in Southern California, we would go down to the Baja a lot, like Ensenada and down there. And when we the first and this was like early 2000s, so like 2001, 2002, like through like 2010-ish. And at that time, from my understanding, was as a US citizen, you could not purchase land in Mexico. You could lease it for like 99 years, and you could go down and stay there without needing a lot of documentation. Or, and I could be completely wrong with this. Is that still the case, or is it different now?
I think that's still largely the case. And they have some stuff in place where you're not able to own, as a foreigner, you're not able to own any land within like 25 kilometers of the ocean. And then,
Smart.
like you're saying, something complicated about putting it into a trust. And I don't know if the trust is transferable. I don't know how all of that works. But yeah, and then used to, you could just go to Mexico with your driver's license. Yeah, and so they say the reason that the majority of Americans now have passports is only because Mexico started require or whoever started requiring passports to enter Mexico. Like the majority of Americans only have it for, their all-inclusive Cancun vacations.
Okay, can we talk about that for a second? Like, how, in your opinion, because you've been to Mexico a ton, you've been all over both like the East Coast, the West Coast, Central Mexico, and I want to get into like how the cuisine differs in all the places, but how can someone go, and I know the answer to this as well, well, I think I do, go to Mexico and not be a total ass and like respect the culture, maybe learn something, God forbid, like I see these idiots in Cancun that are going to these bars that are like people are whistling and dumping fucking watered down, cheap, shitty tequila. It's probably not even tequila. It's like rubbing alcohol in their mouths at like Senor Frogs and shit. Like there's that subset of assholes. And I think they are assholes. Granted, they're spending money for the tourism there, but like they're still assholes. Like what would you like to see people do when they go to Mexico? To like respect it because this is your culture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say like the all-inclusive packages, I understand the temptation. They're affordable, they're accessible. A lot of places had direct flights to Cancun, but go look for some of the less visited places. Mérida, Mexico is insane. Mérida, Mexico is so good. Oaxaca is becoming trendier now, but go down there and do something like take a walking food tour, take a cooking class. Take a city tour, go to somewhere that's not an all-inclusive and do a little anything to dig into the culture. I personally, just because so much of my travel revolves around food, walking food tours are such an incredible way
Yeah.
to, because you're on foot exploring the city. Of course you're stopping however many places for food, but in between there, your guide's going to point out points of interest, attractions. There's going to be a history element of it. And then, of course, you can ask your guide all kinds of questions. Anything that you want to know about local culture and customs and everything else, you have like a resource right there. So whatever interests you, with Airbnb experiences now, there's so much stuff like architecture tours, if that's your thing. Mérida, Mexico has so much European influence in their architecture. Paseo Montejo, the main street that runs through Mérida, has been called like the most beautiful street in all of Mexico. And they have like French mansions, French style mansions. So, for me, it's going to be food, but maybe for you, you want to do architecture. You want to do, a lot of people like handicrafts. Go take a class and learn how to do some, local handicrafts. Whatever your thing is, find a local person, contribute to the economy by, doing their class, doing their workshop, doing whatever it is, and just pick their brains. Ask them
Yeah.
everything you want to know about local stuff.
I agree. And I think doing those things at the very beginning of your trip is really nice because then that's what at least we do, my husband and I, when we travel, we always do a cooking. We either do a walking food tour or we do some kind of culinary based something or a market tour or something where you're walking with a guide and they're showing you around. Because what happens on those tours is you do either hit a lot of places and you get little bites of food in these places. But like there are places that you might want to go back to. And so it's nice to do it at the beginning. So then you get like a lay of the land, you feel like you have your bearings, and then you can pop in and out of places throughout the week that you're there, however long you're there, to experience it a little deeper or explore a little more. And like the other thing that, and I'd love you to talk about this for a second, is Mexico is safe. It's not like people feel like they need to stay a lot of times on the resort. Because of convenience, but also because of like air quote safety issues. I mean, there's mean people everywhere in the world. So, like you were saying in South Africa, you keep your wits about you, but like, don't you, do you feel the same way? Like, that the majority of Mexico, especially in like Oaxaca, in Playa, in Merida, like Mexico City, even, like, there's safe places, Acapulco, and
For
they
sure.
should get off the resort.
I've been to all the places you just mentioned except for Acapulco, and I can say, yeah, I feel safe in all of those cities. Mexico City, if you look at the crime statistics, it's one of the more violent cities in the world. But I'm like, it's a city with 24 million people, and geographically, it's just a huge city.
Huge.
So of course, there's going to be pockets and corners and neighborhoods that, I've spent a ton of time, months and months and months in Mexico City. I've never been to those areas. I just don't go there.
Right.
It's your part of town probably has a bad side of town that you avoid and that you don't go to, and that's skewing your local crime statistics. So we just don't go there. We don't go to those areas. But yeah, everywhere else that you name, Mérida is the safest city in all of Mexico. It's a large reason my mom is retired there, and I think it's the, I saw a report, it's the second safest city in all of North America. The only city that is has better statistics is at some city in Canada.
Oh my
So
God,
there's,
that's
yeah,
amazing.
there's not even a city in the United States that has lower crime rates than Mérida, Mexico.
That's amazing. That's awesome. That's aw And I agree with you.
And
Like
that.
Mexico City, you got to think it's like New York, but bigger. Like it's huge. And it, with the other thing cool that's about Mexico City, I thought, is that you don't realize how high in elevation it is. And isn't it on top of a volcano?
It is, I don't remember if it's a volcano. I know it's on top of like a some kind of waterway or something, but it's high. The altitude is super high, but there's also some type of waterway that it's sitting upon, and I think they actually said the city's sinking a bit.
I'm sure. I mean, it's just amazing that somebody was like, let's climb that big mountain. Let's fucking, or plateau or whatever it was. Like, I mean, they're like up high, like Denver up high. Like, they are, you've got some serious elevation in Mexico City. And like, I guess they have a lot of earthquakes too, or something. I don't know. Maybe it has to do with the water. Maybe the
Yeah.
water's moving. Who knows? Who knows? But
No, there were some earthquakes that really devastated the city, leveled some buildings.
yeah, I
A
mean,
lot of people were killed.
it's such an interesting city. So can we talk a little bit about the cuisine of Mexico? Because it does vary, in my opinion at least, a lot from my limited experience there, from the West Coast to the East Coast to Central, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say every state, and even within the state, different cities. They have, well, which is another argument. I mean, as sidetrack is another argument for Mexico City, because so many people from all over Mexico have come, like matriculated to Mexico City. I think it's a great city to visit where you can find really great examples of every type of food from all over Mexico in one city. But yeah, other than that, like the food in Oaxaca is some of probably the more famous in Mexico. But right now, Yucatan, Merida, being the capital of Yucatan, it's getting a lot of attention right now. There's two or three different Netflix specials that feature Yucatecan cuisine. And then 2 or 3 years ago, the cochinita pibil got named the best dish in the world. And that's a Yucatecan dish.
Oof. So for people who don't know what sets Yucatan cuisine apart from other places in Mexico.
Well, it's the Mayans. The Yucatecan people are of Mayan descent. So the dish, like the dish that I just mentioned, pibil, anything that has that pib word in it, the original, it's not always still done today, but the classic preparation are these things are wrapped in like banana leaves and buried underground and slow cooked like this. So they, slow and low cooking underground was a big feature. But yeah, they have the it's a Mayan descent. It's really incredible, and it is very different than, like you were saying, if you go to the West Coast or anywhere in Mexico by the ocean, clearly is going to feature a lot of seafood.
Right. Yeah. And I felt like when I was eating in the, I've been there a lot, the most out of probably everywhere except for the Baja. And I felt like their cuisine, it was very bright. It was very citrus forward. It's very habanero forward. Like that is their probably pepper of choice. I mean, you see a lot of different peppers throughout Mexico. And everyone's mole is different, but like you see certain cuisines, like the one you just spoke about, that one, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like shredded pork almost that's like wrapped in banana leaves. And then, am I right with this?
It's pork and then they shred it when they pull it up.
Yeah, but it's cooked in a banana leaf. And a lot of the cuisine, it's not all spicy, but the at least, and I could be wrong, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt like it was very habanero forward in that part of Mexico where you might see chipotles in other parts of Mexico, or like deeper in central Mexico, you might get like that's where you'd see like birria tacos and things that are getting stewed for a long time, and heartier cuts of meat that need to be cooked down slow and low, and you get like richer sauces, which just makes sense because on the coast, everyone's eating what's available, which is seafood and, those kind of fresh vegetables and stuff. And in the central part of Mexico's huge. In the central part of Mexico, you're going to see different cuisines, but you're also going to experience different tequilas too, because that is something, you see a lot of mezcal in certain places, and then you might see some blanco tequilas in other places, or añejos or reposados, and it might differ. Am I right with this as well? Am I wrong? Am I totally
Yeah,
off base?
there's only a certain number of states. So like tequila or mezcal can't be produced in every state of Mexico. They have a denomination of origin, but similar to like products from Italy and things like this.
Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly. I think it's like three states can produce mezcal and a handful can do tequila. But then they'll have basically kind of like the sparkling wine. It's basically tequila, but it's produced in another state and they're not able to call it tequila. You can find that stuff around. But I think it's only three places. And then mole, the other one that you touched on, mole is kind of a hot button issue in who has the best mole, what in Mexico, because a lot of people they associate it with Oaxaca. They're not the only ones producing moles, but they're the ones that are the same with mezcal. Now Oaxaca has become so famous for their mezcal tourism, but it is being produced in other states outside of Oaxaca as well.
Oh yeah, and mole comes in a rainbow of colors and textures, and it is not just there's negro mole, there's a red mole, there's well, that'd be a rojo. There's many different types of mole, and they all have different flavors and different families make them, and they go with different cuisines. And same thing with tortillas. Tortillas can kind of not totally vary, but the corn that gets produced in different places of the country does have a different flavor profile than others. And it's just really in the cuisine on the West Coast that is, you know, seafood forward. I mean, Ensenada, it's all about Pacific lobsters and things like that. And it's just, and it's like beach culture and super fun and just surfing, and it's just there, everything's different. But it's so, like you said, you could spend your entire life hopping around Mexico even. Like, there's so much variety and there's so much to see.
A couple of things that I thought of when you were just saying that. For anyone listening that's planning a trip to Oaxaca, there is one of my favorite Airbnb experiences I've ever done. It's a mezcal and mole pairing, and it's a sommelier. And so he's a sommelier in wine. And then during COVID, he developed his own mezcal sommelier course that I actually want to take. Yeah, but it's really interesting. So you go there, and I think it was like seven mezcals paired with seven moles. So
Oh
if
my
anyone's
God.
planning a trip, yeah, to Oaxaca, I re recommend that experience to everyone. They also, if you're going to Mexico City, like I said, he's a sommelier. He has a Mexican wine tasting in Mexico City, and it features all Mexican wines. And I think same thing, we had like seven or eight varietals. And I had some friends visiting. My best friend was visiting, and we went to go do this. And I had so much Mexican wine, and I thought, oh God, it's probably going to be all the most commercial. He did such a good job. Of the seven or eight, I only knew one.
Oh my
He picked
God.
like small boutique productions. Yeah, he was very thoughtful. So I really look up either of those if you're going to Oaxaca or Mexico City. I highly recommend them. And then when you were talking about the tortillas varying in Mexico, same thing in Oaxaca. They do a lot of the blue corn, which is my absolute favorite, is the blue corn tortilla. But you said you've been to Baja. Did you notice they were doing flour tortillas in Baja?
Yeah, they were doing flour, and I mean, it was either like straight white corn or flour. And the one thing, I mean, me being from New England, the thing that blew my mind was the first time I ever saw someone, one, a lobster with no claws, and two, they were grilling them. And like they literally, you sat at your table, they brought you a silver tray with all these lobsters on it. You picked the ones you wanted to grill. They would grill them, they'd grill the tortillas, and then they just bring everything to you and you make tacos with it. And I was like, whoa, I'm from New
Yeah.
England, bitches. Like, where's the drawn butter? Like, where, what do you have steamers? Like, how am I supposed to eat this? Like, with a tortilla? Like, but it was delicious. And I went back over and over and over again and had so much fun. But yeah, they have flour. They have a lot of like ceviches and, where's my mind going with that? Yeah, fish tacos. I mean, that's where the fish taco, I think, kind of got
What
some
about
speed.
chocolate clams? Were you having a lot of those?
Say that again?
Chocolate clams? No. So in the part of Baja we were in, we started in Laredo, and one of their big things there, they do chocolate clams because the shell is like looks like chocolate. And everywhere we went had a different way of preparing them. Like same thing, like you were saying, some people were grilling them, some had butter and garlic, some had, lemon, they were fresh and citrusy and things like this. But the chocolate clams were like a big thing when I was in Baja. Everyone was Yeah, everyone had a different cooking method for them, and they were all delicious.
Oh, I bet. I'm like salivating now. It's 10:40 in my time and it's like 5 o'clock your time. And we're both like, see, we're in the eating mode. Okay, so let's switch gears for a second. Let's talk about this is really switching gears. You've been to both Croatia and, correct me if I'm wrong, Albania, right?
You said Croatia and Albania?
Yeah.
I've been to both.
You've been to both, not necessarily in the same trip, but you've been to both. Croatia is one of the hottest places. I would say it's like up and coming in terms of tourism and how much people want to go there. Albania, I had to look on a map. I am not kidding you. Fucking the New Hampshire public school system has failed me to figure out where it was. Oh, right near Croatia. And it looks amazing. Tell me about those places.
So I just actually was in Croatia in July. I worked with the company. They hosted me for my birthday for a week. We did a week-long catamaran sailing trip where we were island hopping, and we were on a different island every day.
Wait,
Yeah,
because
it's a
people
great
don't
way.
realize, right? Like Croatia has its it, so Croatia's on like the it's right above Greece, and then it's across the Adriatic from Italy. So it's like
Yes.
coastal. There's a bazillion fun little islands that are like smattered in the Adriatic. Like that sounds fucking amazing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but just so people could visualize it.
Yeah, it was such a fun birthday. And I know I mentioned my new project that I'm doing for Gay Digital Nomads. I'm actually thinking of trying to put that same trip that I did last summer, put something together for this because it was so much fun. So we would every night or every day visit a different island, and then and we slept on the boat. And then by day we would sail from island to island, and the captain would find us like abandoned little coves for swimming or caves to go swimming in. And they made such gorgeous meals. And then at night we would go to an island, we'd get off, we'd go have dinner on the island, go explore, do sunset drinks, have wine and everything else. It was just a fun way to spend a week. I actually think I'm going to be working with that same company again this summer, maybe doing their Greece route.
Ooh.
But then comparing when you say Croatia to Albania, so I would say Croatia has been booming for a while. I mean, I don't think Croatia is really undiscovered anymore. Albania is the one that's up and coming right now, and I saw a lot of that happening during COVID because Albania was like the one country in Europe that did not require vaccines, and they also have a 365-day visa on arrival for Americans.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so there was a lot of travel influencers and bloggers and remote workers and people like this that didn't know where they could get in and out of, with vaccines and things like this. And then visas, am I going to get stuck somewhere? My visa is going to expire. Albania was like, hey, we're wide open. And I saw so many content creators going there during COVID and then pushing out all this content about, look how amazing Albania is, which it is. It is a great country. And now I've seen like a big like people going to Albania.
With Albania, is it like similar in the vibe of what Croatia is? Like, is it because it's also just north of Croatia, right? So there it has some coast like on the Adriatic.
Yeah,
Is it like beachy? Like, what's the vibe?
beachy for sure. Yeah, there's some great beach towns. I would say it's there's a beachy vibe and everything. It's just l less developed for tourism. And mind you, it's been probably 6 years since I was there, so it is less developed. Croatia is more polished for tourism. They've been dealing with tourists for quite a while. Albania is a little rougher around the edges, but a lot of people like that. That's what they're looking for.
What were like some of the things that you loved that you did or ate in either spot?
And well, Croatia does great wine. I don't think enough people talk about Croatian wines. Their white wines, especially like I like wines where you can taste a lot of mineral
Me
in
too.
the wine. Yeah. Okay. Well, another one, sidetrack, but another one that if you like the Azores Islands in Portugal,
I totally agree with you.
they're built on volcanic soil, and all that soil is so full of minerals, it really comes through in the wine. So In Croatia, yeah, they have a lot of, we were on island, so we had a lot of access to fish and seafood and all the wine. It's a little bit different. Each island has a little bit of a different profile. They also do great stuff with lamb, if you're into lamb. Yeah. And then Albania, same thing. We were there during the summer. We were doing some beach towns. I'm actually looking at possibly going to Albania, back to Albania this summer. Now that I don't know if your listeners have followed, but two of my favorite Schengen countries, non-Schengen countries, have now been admitted to the Schengen, Bulgaria and Romania. Yeah, so I have to start watching how I'm going to budget my Schengen days this summer. So Albania's high on the list.
I love that. Once you and I were talking about it, and I was like, I want to know more about Albania. Like, Croatia's on my radar. Like, I'm going to Croatia. Like, it is, I'm there. Because it looks like a less expensive vacation than Italy, but the same vibe. Like, if like Italy and Greece had a baby and it was a little less expensive, like that to me is what Croatia in my mind is. Could be wrong. Am I wrong? Am I right?
I think that if Italy and Greece had a baby, I like that. I'd
Okay,
never thought of
great.
it that way, but if Italy and Greece had a baby, and then that would be if Italy and Greece kind of had like a bastard stepchild or something, that might be Albania where it's at right now.
Yeah, like they got adopted. Like Albania was adopted, and it was like, I'm on a party. I'm here, but like I need a makeover. Like she needs one of those like makeover montages, like from Devil Wears Prada, like where she gets like a full glow up. Like that's what Albania probably, I don't know this for a fact, but like Albania might need a little bit of a glow up. Maybe not.
I remember we were in Tirana, the capital city, and we were hanging out in the block, which is where kind of the one percenters of Albania live and hang out and shop and everything. And I was saying like, oh, like I had heard Albania is so poor. And I was like, everyone here is like Mercedes and BMWs and everything. And my friend said, the block is not Albania. This is not representative of
This is
Albania.
like
So
Beverly Hills.
So the part of Albania that I saw, I was like, oh, I wouldn't say it needs like a glow up at all. It was gorgeous. And my friend was like, no, this is not representative of the country as a whole. You need to get into like, the small villages and the small towns and everything. But the seaside town, it's been probably 6 years since I was there, but they're getting more tourists, and they were very touristic with Europeans know a lot of about Albania, and then Albanians traveling within their own country. They would come from the city. During the summers, it's very hot, and there'd be like an exodus from the cities in this
Oh, sure.
summer. Yeah, everyone's going to beach clubs and having late dinners and ordering that second bottle of wine. Like, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, no, for sure. And same, that's the same thing in Italy. Like everyone, mass exodus from Rome and major cities, and they all go to the seaside and they go to the beach clubs and they just need to get out because it's so hot. It's just brutally hot. And I don't know how much
A friend of
reprieve you
mine,
even get on the coast. Like it's still hot, but at least you've got the sea breeze, I guess.
that went on to become the most famous influencer in Croatia for something like 6 consecutive years or something. I don't even remember. He used to own a nightclub in his town, and then it closed in the summer, and they reopened only at the in the summer at the beach because the town was just so empty that it wasn't even worth keeping the nightclub open during the summer because everyone was going to the beach. So like 8 months a year, he was operating out of the city, and 3 or 4 months a year, or whatever it is, I don't know the breakdown, they just picked up the whole operation and moved it to a beach town.
That's crazy. It's, I mean, smart. You
Yeah.
gotta, you go where the people are, go where the money is. So can we move from those areas? And I really want to talk about Spain. I've never been to Spain. There's so much I want to know about Spain, but I also want to know, you went to the Canary Islands. Is that right? Am I right with this?
Yeah, I just spent like 6 weeks there. 6 weeks there this
In the
summer.
Canary
Yeah,
Islands. You spent 6 weeks in the Canary Islands?
maybe might have even been a little longer. It might have been closer to 10. I think it was like 6, 8 weeks or something like that. I was
Was it a
studying
pain in
Spanish.
the ass to get to?
No, but I was coming from within Europe already, so
Okay.
I flew over to Madrid or Barcelona, and then I took a local flight, like a local care Spanish cheap flight within Spain.
Yeah, for people who
But
don't
it
know,
is.
The Canary Islands are right next to Morocco, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I say I was flying within Spain, but it was, I was going from Europe to essentially Africa,
Yeah,
but
like the top of Africa. Yeah.
but it is considered, that was a an in-country flight or whatever. But yeah,
How
I
were
was.
they? Like they look like they would be like very not the Galapagos, but they feel like they would be, it's not like the Caribbean. It's very different than that. Am I right?
Very different. So I will say I went to Maas Palomas is where
Okay.
I started, and I had something like a 8 or 10 week Airbnb rented, and I was just going to study Spanish and get some work done. And I personally did not connect with Maas Palomas at all. And I ended up, I had to buy myself out of my Airbnb contract, and I ate a bunch of money to get out of there. It's very, to me, first of all, I was there during the wrong part of the year. So I was thinking like, oh, summer in Europe, summer in Europe. And then once I was there, their busy season is like December, January, February, because all the Europeans are already having summer in Europe. So they save Los, or they save the Grand Canaries until the winter when they need like a break, like an escape from their winter, because they don't have winter down there. So I did not connect with Maas Palomas at all. I didn't enjoy it. It's very like packaged British. Hot. It's kind of, to me, it was like their Cancun.
Oh, okay.
Package tours and everything. And so then I moved to the north of the island. I moved to Las Palmas, and Las Palmas is incredible. I could go
Okay.
back and spend another big chunk of time. Same things that I'm saying I really enjoy about Cape Town, living right by the water. It was making me be healthier. I think you're a lot more aware of, health and fitness, and how you look shirtless if you're at the beach half the
Yes.
time,
Yes.
So I was
Yes.
having a healthier lifestyle. You're on an island, a Spanish island off the coast of Africa, but it's largely affordable.
Really?
You still, It's
I
still
would have
staying
imagined
price.
it would be expensive.
Yeah, it was still largely, largely affordable. I wouldn't say it's like an incredible value or anything,
Are they on the
but
Euro?
no more. Yeah, they're
Okay.
on the Euro.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine. And then for any of your like digital nomad followers, anyone, live it up Las Palmas. They operate a Slack group, and that is one of the most fun, well-organized digital nomad communities. And
Wow.
they're always doing something. And it's on Slack, so there's all these subcategories, like surfers, vegetarians, like whatever it is that you're into, there's a subcategory. And then they have like 2 or 3 weekly meetups, and someone's always organizing a hike or a dinner or yoga. It was fun. It was a good time.
That's awesome. I'm just shocked that you spent that much time there. For some reason, I viewed it as like a Caribbean vacation to us. You know what I mean? Like you go for a week. I know you live very differently than that, but like that there wouldn't be that much to see or do within a 10-week chunk that you would be like, or 6 week or however long it was, that you'd be like, eh, I'm out of here. Like this was fun for a few weeks, but like meh. But like you really connected with it, it sounds like, and it was really fun and fulfilling. And you want to go
Yeah, I
back.
would say you don't need that much time there. I was studying Spanish, so I was kind of traveling with a purpose. Like I had a reason to, I really wanted to focus on my Spanish. You don't need that much time there. You could go there for a week or 10 days and probably check off all the big must-do things. But it's definitely worth visiting. There's some gorgeous beaches, there's some great hiking, some really good nature, and of course, being part Spain, part African, there's interesting cuisine there as well.
I bet. And everyone speaks Spanish. All the street signs, everything's in Spanish because they're owned by Spain.
Everything, yes, everything's in Spanish.
That's awesome. And if you have an EU passport, it's probably real easy to get in and out of there, right?
For sure. The one
That's
that I
awesome.
want to get to that I've not been to, that all my friends that have been are raving about, is Madeira.
Oh, yeah.
And
Yeah.
everything I've seen from Madeira, if you're someone that's into like nature, hiking, things like this, Madeira is pretty high on my list.
Yeah. And that's again an island in the Canary Islands, or is that right? Because there's a few different ones.
I don't know if it's a one of the Canaries, but I think it's Balearic Islands. Is that what they call them? I don't remember, but yeah, it's one of those islands. It belongs to Portugal.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I don't know where that is. I thought, is there a Madeira, Spain? Am I wrong with that? No.
There might be. I don't know about that one.
Maybe I'm
Yeah,
thinking
there
of
might be.
wine, the Madeira wine. Maybe I'm confusing the two. I might be. You never know. You never know. In Spain itself, where have you been to in the country of Spain?
Quite a lot, yeah. I've
Okay.
done quite a lot of Spain. Madrid is my favorite, but I've also spent quite a lot of time in Barcelona, Valencia, Malaga. We did a Andalusia road trip. I've done Costa Brava, Bilbao.
I'm
So
so jealous.
yeah. And Spain's, used to. I would tell people, if I had to pick one country to live and die in, if you told me I could never leave the borders of a country again, I used to say Spain. Now I think I'm leaning towards Mexico,
Oh, yeah.
but
Your mom's there.
yeah, my mom's there, it's closer to my friends and family and everything else, but I like the way the Spanish people live.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about that. And also, when's it to, like, what would. What time of year would you recommend going to Spain?
Anything except their winter, shoulder season, spring and fall are going to be really nice. Of course, summer is you're
Hot.
going to have the best hot, but and the biggest crowds, but
Yeah.
that's when it's popular. So if you wanted to go, spring or fall could be really gorgeous. You're probably going to have better prices and less crowds.
Yeah, even the winter, I would imagine, is pretty beautiful there, depending on the type of vacation and what you want to do. Like, you wouldn't go to the beach, but, or you could and just walk. Like, it probably isn't, I don't know,
I'm just so anti
cheap.
cold
I know you are.
weather.
I can see you've got such a beautiful glow, and I'm, look at me, I'm pasty. I could literally, I look like a ghost. I'm pale and pasty.
That's a sunburn I have, not a glow.
You are glowing, girl. So, with Spanish life, and you and I talked about this yesterday because we both know your girl likes to be asleep in bed 8:30, 9 o'clock. I would do so poorly in Spain. Like, I would be eating lunch for dinner, basically, because you bitches don't eat dinner until when? 11? 10?
Nine-ish, and then it's not uncommon to still be at dinner, at 11, 11:30. My favorite restaurant in Buenos Aires, which has kind of this, they keep the same hours more or less as Spain. My favorite restaurant there, La Carniceria, shout out if anyone's going to Buenos Aires, they have to go to La Carniceria. They have three nightly seatings, and it's like a 6:30, an 8:30, and a 10:30.
Who the hell is eating dinner at 10:30 at night? Like, I would lose my shit. I would lose my shit. I'd be so angry. I'd be so bad. It would be so, and I'd be like yawning like the entire
My
time at
friends
dinner.
were visiting, and I was telling them, we've had, dinners. I've had multiple, many, many 11 o'clock dinners in Buenos Aires. And my friend was saying the same thing. He was like, oh God, like who would do that? Like, why would you ever? And then he took a photo. We went out for drinks, and then we didn't go to dinner at 8 or 9 because we were having that second bottle of wine or whatever, whatever. And then we snuck into one of my other favorite restaurants there, Franca. And it was like 11:35, and they said they close at midnight. And I kind of know the people working there from going so much. And I was like, oh, could you like just throw us together something super quickly? Like, I don't want to keep you guys
We'll take
open.
it to go. We don't care.
We left dinner at 2 in the morning. And so my friend has a photo of him. We got our steaks at like midnight, and then
Holy
I
shit, I'm
thought they
yawning. I'm exhausted just thinking about that. Holy shit.
I thought they were going to be rushing us out because they close at midnight and we didn't get there till like 11:30. But once we finished eating, they sent over like five desserts that we hadn't ordered, and they opened a bottle of dessert wine, and they were in no rush to get us out. They were so excited that people come and love the food and raving about the food. So yeah, I think we left dinner at like 1:45 a.m.
Yeah, and you left a huge tip. I am
Yeah.
sure, like a huge. So that's so funny. So there's a lot of similarities between both Spain and Buenos Aires that you love, love. You love that lifestyle. You love, like, what time do people get up to start working when you're eating that late? Is it like a late, do they do like midday siestas? Tell me more. Tell me more.
Spain does siestas. It's less and less common in Mexico. I've never seen a siesta in Argentina.
So with Spain, do shops, because in Italy I found this to be true. Like people stop for lunch, they close their shop for, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then they come back and reopen. Is the same vibe in Spain too?
So they'll do, like a 9 or 10 to like 1 or 2 or whatever, and then they'll shut down for several hours. But that also means they're typically open later than what you would find in the States. So, they'll be open until they'll come back from like, 4 to 8 or something. A lot of places would close at 5 or 6 in the States, and they are open longer here. But yeah, I heard something interesting though that was a little bit sad. They were telling me one guy worked for a company and he said, we had to do away with siesta because he said, if you're trying to compete in a global market, you can't tell Hong Kong or you can't tell, Taiwan or, somewhere. Oh, don't call between 2 to 4 because we just all went home to sleep. And
It's
yeah, and
true.
he said, if you want to compete in a global economy, he said that we're having a little bit of a loss of culture. And you have to factor in, how much of the Spanish way of life do you want to give up to compete in the global economy? And, there's arguments to be made both ways. But, and of course, I've had multiple times where I'm trying to go to the pharmacy and they're just shut in the middle of the day. And I'm like, ugh. It's
A
so
hundred percent.
frustrating. But yeah, but it's their culture and I think it's gorgeous. And it's sad to see them have to give up any of that.
I agree. Does the and this is a stupid question because I'm sure it does the cuisine differ from different regions? Because Spain's not massive. It's not like Mexico. Like it's not a huge country. But I understand like coastal cuisine would differ from the interior. But and is there commonalities? Like you see certain tapas only in certain places, or is it tapas kind of universal? Or like talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely differences and variations that are regional. And then even tapas, in certain parts of Spain, they're called pinchos
Oh,
in
okay.
some parts. Yeah. So in kind of what do they do that? In San Sebastian and stuff like this, they'll be known as pinchos. And they're basically the same thing as tapas, but they're known and everyone makes kind of use of what's available locally. But now you can get so many things
I
like
know.
fresh liver from everywhere else. But I'll say in Gran Canaria is we found it was a little bit of a struggle to find tapas because I was like, oh, it's Spain. And I'm so used to seeing like in different places there'll just be like 4 tapas restaurants on one city block. And they were few and far between in the Canary Islands. And my favorite tapas place, I mean, I hate to say this, my favorite tapas place that I found in Gran Canary Islands were like a Italian fusion tapas.
Oh, that's so fun. That's silly. That's just
Yeah,
silly.
in the Las Palmas market, they have a market there. There's a I don't remember off the top of my head, but there's all these stalls, and one of them is like an Italian stall, and they would take Italian products like super fatty ham and put it on bread and like broil it in the oven. So it's just this bread with like basically like kind of like a almost bacon with caramelized fat on the top. And it was such a delicious bite.
Sounds delicious, especially with like a nice cold glass of wine. Like I'm in, or beer or something. I am so that sounds amazing. I'm starving now, starving. And then you love Madrid. Like you love Madrid, right? Like that's your, if you could pick a place in Spain to live, Madrid is where you're going back to, right? Is it very, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I actually have a pending visa application to start my Spanish residency to live in Madrid. And but
Wow.
we have, it's very their tax situation is very complicated. And we're
Sure
having to,
it
yeah, we're having to I was full steam ahead. I hired attorneys and I had to restructure my entire company. We had to go from an LLC to an S corp and everything, and I was full steam ahead to move to Spain, and I was going to live in Madrid because I love, love, love Madrid so much. And then I had the consult with their tax attorney, and now we've pumped the brakes on the Madrid idea until we can sort out what the tax implications look like.
Yeah, you don't want to pay a huge hit. You'd rather just visit then, like, than live.
Yeah, at that point, my 90-day Schengen is plenty for me.
Right. So what is it about Madrid that you love? Like, what makes it so special in your heart?
For me, like I said, I love the Spanish way of life. The people are super friendly. Everyone's gorgeous, which is, nice as well. The food scene is amazing. Of course, the wine is incredible. I feel like I've been to Madrid probably a dozen times, and my list of places that I still need to go eat is longer and longer and longer. One of my friends is a food influencer there, so I'm always following her account. Joy of Madrid, for anyone going to Madrid, she runs walking food tours. And so I'm always following her account and just like updating my map, updating my map, updating my map. And it's, they just live nice. They know how to live there.
Is it
And
expensive?
I moderately, I think for European large cities in Europe, it's probably on the lower end, but it's not some great value for sure. It's not
Yeah, but it's probably
it's not
cheaper than
Albania.
Paris or like
For
London
sure,
or,
cheaper than Paris and
yeah.
London. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I want to go. I'm gonna definitely hit up your friend and do a food tour when I go, without
She
question.
does like private walking food tours. Yeah,
Amazing.
she doesn't. I don't think she. Yeah, it's all like you DM her and she'll put together, and you can tell her like I'm into beer and tapas, or I'm into wine and this, or I'm into jamon and yeah, and she'll structure. And she knows that city so well. Like I just hung out with her. I was there after Las Palmas. I went there to visit her, and yeah, she's just very knowledgeable about the city.
I love that. I love that. And I imagine the art scene's probably really good there. Just the whole city scene. I mean, it's a major, major city. Like there's just like New York, there's always something to do. And there's probably a clash of cultures too, because so many people want to live there from all over the world too. So you probably get little pockets of just cool food and cool vibes and
Funky little neighborhoods, yeah, murals everywhere. It's a fun city to explore. So if anyone wants to go, yes, if you only have 3 days, it's worth going. But if you can dig in and stay longer, it's a fun city to dig into.
What neighborhood would you recommend people to stay in?
I stay in Chueca, but I mean that's the gay neighborhood, so that's the one that I'm always in.
That's where I would stay.
But yeah, it's fun, it's artsy, it's kind of hipster. But somewhere around there in that surrounding area. But usually when I'm there, I'm always in Chueca, and it's super safe. Wine bars everywhere, little tapas places, yeah, cute little restaurants that are like, a 12 table restaurant or something, super small. And because I'm normally there in the summer, everyone's outside, everyone's the bars spill out onto the streets, and everyone's hanging out drinking beer, wine on the streets. It's just a whole vibe. Yeah. And
Oh.
I love it. I remember last time I went, and I hadn't been there in a couple of years pre-COVID. And when I went back in October, I took the metro from the airport into the city, and I came up from the metro, and I just looked around, and I was like, I fucking love this city. I forgot how much and it was just exiting the metro. And I was like, I forgot how much I love this city. And then I think put on Facebook, I was like, I know everyone's heard me say this every time I come to Madrid, but I'm thinking about living in Madrid.
It feels like home. There's a part of it that feels like home to you. I love that because that's something you've avoided, but yet looked for this entire last 10 years.
And finding it, and now Mexico City, Madrid, and
Buenos
Buenos Aires.
Aires, you are
Yeah, and
obsessed.
there's
Yeah.
three big Spanish-speaking cities. Like it's clear that I have a vibe right
You
now, and
do.
it's
If only
yeah.
Madrid was on the ocean, then it would be perfect.
Yeah, or Buenos Aires.
I know. Buenos Aires, it does have some canals though, right? Like Buenos Aires does a little bit. There's
Yeah, they're
some
not famous
waterways.
for those. Yeah, they're not famous for those.
No, I didn't think so. Okay, last but not least, can we talk about M Moldova?
Moldova, yeah, you dug around on my website.
So with Moldova, again, a country I had to look up on a map to see where it is, and it's just below Ukraine. It is definitely Eastern Europe, bordering on, dare we say, like Russia almost. Like, I'm sure they owned it at one point in time. Tell me about Moldova. Like, why
So, I tell people all the time, like, I don't know if it came up in the first talk, but I've never been to Paris.
Yeah, I know.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, and I've gone to places like Moldova, and it was just one of these places. So it's kind of a long story. We were in Cambodia. I was going to Cambodia, and I announced on Facebook I'm going to Cambodia, and a friend of mine from home said, like, oh, my brother's living in Cambodia, you should connect with him. And this was when I was proper backpacking, like very small budget, flip-flops, big backpack. And I get a hold of him, and he was on a contract employee for the embassy, and he had
Okay.
this ginormous house with a security and a maid and a driver and everything else.
Damn.
And yeah, and so we went, and I put my stuff down, and he was like, how long did you want to stay? And I'm like, oh God, how long can I? He might have said, I was saying, like, what part of town should I stay in, what hotel? Or he's like, just come stay at my house. And I get there, I'm like, how long can I stay without looking like an asshole?
Lab 13. I'm not leaving. I'm couch surfing. Like, I'm so excited to stay.
To go from backpacking to, like, there's a maid and a driver. And yeah, and so then when he knew that I spend every summer in Europe, and his new embassy assignment was in Moldova, and we had hit it off with him. I'm still friends with him today. And so he invited us, and I was like, yeah, it's one of these random parts. I'm always in Eastern Europe when I'm there. And listen, Moldova was lovely. We had a nice time. We ran out of things to do.
I'm sure.
I didn't find, maybe it's changed in the 7 or 8 years since I've been there. I actually have a friend that I met now in I met her in Buenos Aires, and she works for an embassy as well, and she's on an assignment in Moldova, I believe now. Maybe it's come along. Maybe there's more to do. I don't know. I don't want any people that are from
Like, no
Moldova to,
shade, no shade to
yeah, no shade. Yeah,
Moldovians. Yeah.
maybe it's developed, but I will tell you, phenomenal wine.
Really?
Yeah, it's like one of their biggest exports,
Okay.
and is wine. And then we went to the winery. It's called Krikova. It has the second largest, it's like underground labyrinths or tunnels or something like this of wine in the world. And that's only because the one that was like the number had the most. I don't feel like they're really set up for tourism, because I was like calling and emailing and everything else, and they just never answered and never replied.
Like, we don't have
If that
wine
tells you
tours. You
anything
just
about,
have to show up. Bring a
yeah, if that
goat.
tells you anything about Moldova infrastructure.
No
But we
shit.
went to Krikova, and like Angela Merkel has a private wine collection there. Like all these, Vladimir Putin. This was, of course, before the war in
Sure.
Ukraine and stuff like this. But all these like notable people, they've all been there, and it seemed kind of like a thing to do was for you to have like a reserve at Krikova. And
Wow.
Krikova was making really nice, especially their sparkling wines was really good. They're really one of their huge exports. And we toured the vineyard, and we learned the whole process, and go for that. But unless a lot's happened in a small amount of time, I didn't find much else to do other than drink wine and learn about wine.
Sure. What's the food scene like in Moldova?
I don't remember. If that tells you anything about the
Yeah, that tells
food
me a
scene,
lot.
I
Yeah.
cannot remember.
I mean,
Yeah, I
I'm
can't
sure it's
remember
like
one.
Eastern
Yeah.
European food, like, which is its own subset of stews and goulashes and potatoes and cabbage and I mean, I will do a little Googling for the I to find out more. I was just curious because it is a
I could
very
not tell you more.
yeah, no, fair enough. It was a nice reprieve for you on your first big tour around the world, for sure.
For sure. And it was, of course, good getting to catch up with my friend. And it's a wine destination, so any wine destination I'm a fan of.
Okay. So, last two questions. First, what are you excited to eat in South Africa? Like, what is your, do you have a bucket list couple of things or places that you have to go while you're in Cape Town?
Well, one of the, I think the number four or number five winery in the world is here. So I definitely want to make plans to go to that winery and visit their restaurant. But as far as South African food or in Cape Town, they have something called braai or a braai. Do you know about this?
No, tell me.
I hope I'm not mispronouncing. It's like Braai, I think is how it's spelled. It's just like kind of like the same thing like you would have in Argentina, like the asado, that big barbecue that's like a long drawn out affair and it takes hours and hours and everyone's hanging out and drinking and socializing and stuff like this. I really want to go to an authentic braai while I'm here. I want to have that whole, hanging out with friends and small bites as things are coming off the grill and beer and wine. And just the whole kind of communal experience.
So many countries have that in different ways, and it's such a beautiful thing to experience. And it's slow, and it's ex like it's just it's like our version of like Southern barbecue here in the States. Like it's just it's so nice to have that. That I'm really looking forward to you having that, and I will live vicariously through your incredible bites of food. So how can people find you? How can they get a hold of you? One more time.
At foodie, foodieflashpacker.com or at foodieflashpacker on Instagram. And then for any of your LGBTQ plus followers, we're launching Gay Digital Nomads that will all be up and running by the time you publish this. Yeah, we're hard launching. The hard launch is this week. So by the time you publish this, that'll all be live. And we're already kind of mapping out some dates for some upcoming retreats. We're looking at maybe some Mexico or Argentina retreats.
Well, that and apparently you're going boat hopping, island hopping in Croatia. Like, sign this girl up. I'm
You
not,
know, that was,
I'm an ally. I am your
yeah,
best
of
girlfriend.
course.
I'm coming.
We need all of those as well. You know what was crazy to me? I polled in the Facebook group and I asked everyone, what are you most interested in doing? And I was so excited to do like a week on a catamaran island hopping. I thought that sounded, to me, the most exciting option. And it got 0 votes in the poll. Yeah. And
Bitches.
the two things people most want, they want a course on how to become a digital nomad, which I'm sure we can develop for them. And then the other one, they want like retreats where we co-live and co-work together.
Come on. Come on, people.
Yeah, it's not too different from the boat thing. We would be doing the same thing, but I was like, how about if we did that on a boat on a different island every day? But people were, I'm still gonna try and launch that, and I'm still gonna try and push it. I'm gonna try and sell that because it's the thing I'm personally most excited about. Hopefully we can get some momentum behind that and get some people on board. Because to fill up the boat, I think we only need like 3 to 4 cabins booked. It's a catamaran, so it's small. So they have like 4 or 5 bedrooms. So if I take up one, that only leaves 3 or 4. Yeah. So you don't need a lot of people to make that
No, but you
experience
need cool
happen.
people. You don't want fucking shitty people on your catamaran because it, like you said, it is small and close quarters. So you like you want to vet those
Yeah.
people out. You want cool people.
100%. There, this will be an application process, not just like a payment link. Like there'll definitely be like a vibe check before that
Yeah,
happens.
we're doing Zoom calls. We need to see faces. We need to know your hygiene. We need to know things. 100%.
100%.
Okay, last question. Asked it before, I'll ask it again. If you had all the money in the world, where are you going and what are you eating?
Did I say Japan last time?
You did. Yep. You
Okay,
gotta pick
do I need
something
to pick
else than
that?
Japan. Yep, sorry.
Okay, all the money in the world.
Yep.
I think I mentioned it to you before. I really want one of these Maldives overwater
Yeah.
bungalow thing. So if I had all the money in the world, I would book one of these Maldives all-inclusives, and what would I eat would probably be everything, all of it, whatever they're doing in a,
Absolutely.
yeah, at an all-inclusive, which is not my travel style. But if you say all the money in the world, it's a wildly expensive trip. So probably not going for the food, But I don't think I've ever been to an all-inclusive that was like that mind-blowing with the food. But yeah, if it's money doesn't matter, Maldives overwater bungalow.
Yeah, and it's almost like you would go like instead of all inclusive, you would want the private chef with
Yes.
like that vibe. And like they just keep
Yes.
bringing you cocktails, keep the dom flowing, like whatever it is, like just, you know,
Butler service.
exactly. Like that's the vibe. Like you got dropped there by your private helicopter that you took from your private jet. Like that's where we're going with this. And you have your own, like, fuck the Ritz-Carlton. Like, we, no offense, like, we'd stay at the Ritz, but like, whatever. But like, you want, you, this is, that's what you want. That's what you want.
I gotta dream bigger. I have to dream bigger.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what I'm here for. I love you. Thank you so much for coming back and doing this. We have to meet up somewhere in the world, like, without
Yes.
question.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it so much.
All right, I will see you soon. Bye.
You.
Oh my gosh, how much do we love Nathan? He is the best, the best. I hope I run into him out in the world and maybe one day he'll swing into Boston and then we can eat the hell out of New England. I'm going to link all of his information into the show notes, ElizabethRFuller.com. Of course, tag me in all of your food adventures at Let's Go on a Food Adventure on Insta. Shoot me an email with questions. Let's Go on a Food Adventure gmail.com. And I will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. I think maybe a mini. Maybe we'll do a fun mini. We haven't had like a mini episode in a minute. But thank you guys so much for listening. I love you. I adore you. I'm going to drink some more tea, take some more zinc. You guys make some yummy food together this weekend. Leave with kindness, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. Bye.